Canto 3, Section 4, Number 35. But here were worlds lifted halfway to heaven. The veil was there, but not the shadowy wall. In forms not too remote from human grasp, some passion of the inviolate purity broke through a ray of the original bliss. Heaven's joys might have been earth's if earth were pure. There could have reached our divinized sense and heart some natural felicity's bright extreme, some thrill of supernature's absolutes. All strengths could laugh and sport on earth's hard roads and never feel her cruel edge of pain. All love could play and nowhere nature's shame. But she has stabled her dreams in matter's courts, and still her doors are barred to things supreme. These worlds could feel God's breath visiting their tops. Some glimmer of the transcendence hem was there. Across the white aeonic silences, immortal figures of embodied joy traversed wide spaces near to eternity's sleep. Pure mystic voices in beatitude's hush appealed to love's immaculate sweetnesses, calling his honeyed touch to thrill the worlds, his blissful hands to seize on nature's limbs, his sweet intolerant might of union to take all beings into his savior arms, drawing to his pity the rebel and the waif to force on them the happiness they refuse. A chant hymnal to the unseen divine, a flaming rhapsody of white desire, lured an immortal music into the heart and woke the slumbering ear of ecstasy. A purer, fierier sense had there its home, a burning urge no earthly limbs can hold. One drew a large, unburdened, spacious breath, and the heart sped from beat to rapturous beat. The voice of time sang of the immortal's joy, an inspiration in a lyric cry. The moments came with ecstasy on their wings. Beauty unimaginable moved heaven bare, absolved from boundaries in the vasts of dream. The cry of the birds of wonder called from the skies to the deathless people of the shores of light. Creation leaped straight from the hands of God. Marvel and rapture wandered in the ways. Only to be was a supreme delight. Life was a happy laughter of the soul, and joy was king with love for minister. The spirit's luminousness was bodied there. Life's contraries were lovers or natural friends, and her extremes, keen edges of harmony, indulgence with the tender purity came, and nursed the God on her maternal breast. There none was weak, so falsehood could not live. Ignorance was a thin shade protecting light, imagination the free will of truth, pleasure a candidate for heaven's fire. The intellect was beauty's worshipper. Strength was the slave of calm spiritual law. Power laid its head upon the breasts of bliss. There were summit glories inconceivable, autonomies of wisdom still self-rule, and high dependencies of her virgin sun, illumined theocracies of the seeing soul, throned in the power of the transcendence ray. A vision of grandeurs, a dream of magnitudes, in sun-bright kingdoms moved with regal gait, assemblies, crowded senates of the gods, life's prescience's reigned on seats of marble will, high dominations and autocracies and laureled strengths and armed imperative mights. All objects there were great and beautiful. All beings wore a royal stamp of power. There sat the oligarchies of natural law. Proud, violent heads served one calm monarch brow. All the soul's postures donned divinity. There met the ardent mutual intimacies of mastery's joy and the joy of servitude, imposed by love on love's heart that obeys, and love's body held beneath a rapturous yoke. All was a game of meeting kinglinesses, for worship lifts the worshipper's bowed strength, close to the god's pride and bliss his soul adores. The ruler there is one with all he rules. To him who serves with a free, equal heart, obedience is his princely training school, his nobility's coronet and privilege. His faith is a high nature's idiom, his service a spiritual sovereignty. There were realms where knowledge joined creative power in her high home and made her all his own. The grand illuminate seized her gleaming limbs and filled them with the passion of his ray, till all her body was its transparent house, and all her soul a counterpart of his soul. Apotheosized, transfigured by wisdom's touch, her days became a luminous sacrifice, an immortal moth in happy and endless fire. She burned in his sweet, intolerable blaze. A captive life wedded her conqueror. In his wide sky, she built her world anew. She gave to mind's calm pace the motor's speed, to thinking a need to live what the soul saw, to living an impetus to know and see. His splendor grasped her, her prescience to him clung. She crowned the idea a king in purple robes, put her magic serpent scepter in thought's grip, made forms his inward vision's rhythmic shapes, and her acts the living body of his will. A flaming thunder, a creator flash, his victor light rode on her deathless force, a centaur's mighty gallop bore the god. Life throned with mind, a double majesty. Worlds were there of a happiness great and grave, an action tinged with dream, laughter with thought, and passion there could wait for its desire until it heard the near approach of God. Worlds were there of a childlike mirth and joy, a carefree youthfulness of mind and heart, found in the body a heavenly instrument. It lit an aureate halo round desire, and freed the deified animal in the limbs to divine gambols of love and beauty and bliss. On a radiant soil that gazed at heaven's smile, a swift life impulse stinted not nor stopped. It knew not how to tire, happy were its tears. There work was play, and play the only work, the tasks of heaven a game of godlike might, a celestial bacchanal forever pure, unstayed by faintness as in mortal frames. Life was an eternity of rapture's moods. Age never came, care never lined the face. Imposing on the safety of the stars, a race in laughter of immortal strengths, the nude god-children in their play-fields ran, smiting the winds with splendor and with speed. Of storm and sun they made companions, sported with the white mane of tossing seas, slew distance, trampled to death under their wheels, and wrestled in the arenas of their force. Imperious in their radiance like the suns, they kindled heaven with the glory of their limbs, flung like a divine Larsus to the world. A spell to force the heart to stark delight, they carried the pride and mastery of their charm, as if life's banner on the roads of space. Ideas were luminous comrades of the soul. Mind played with speech, cast javelins of thought, but needed not these instruments toil to know. Knowledge was nature's pastime, like the rest. Investitured with the fresh heart's bright ray, in early God instincts, child inheritors, tenants of the perpetuity of time, still thrilling with the first creation's bliss, they steeped existence in their youth of soul. An exquisite and vehement tyranny, the strong compulsion of their will to joy, poured smiling streams of happiness through the world. There reigned a breath of high immune content, a fortunate gate of days in tranquil air, a flood of universal love and peace. A sovereignty of tireless sweetness lived, like a song of pleasure on the lips of time. A large spontaneous order freed the will, a sun-frank winging of the soul to bliss, the breadth and greatness of the unfettered act, and the swift fire heart's golden liberty. There was no falsehood of soul severance. There came no crookedness of thought or word to rob creation of its native truth. All was sincerity and natural force. There freedom was sole rule and highest law. In a happy series climbed or plunged these worlds, in realms of curious beauty and surprise, in fields of grandeur and of Titan power, life played at ease with her immense desires. A thousand Edens she could build nor pause. No bound was set to her greatness and to her grace, and to her heavenly variety. Awake with a cry and stir of numberless souls, arisen from the breast of some deep infinite, smiling like a newborn child at love and hope, in her nature housing the immortal's power, in her bosom bearing the eternal will, no guide she needed but her luminous heart, no fall debased the godhead of her steps, no alien night had come to blind her eyes. There was no use for grunging ring or fence. Each act was a perfection and a joy. Abandoned to her rapid fancy's moods and the rich colored riot of her mind, initiate of divine and mighty dreams, magician builder of unnumbered forms, exploring the measures of the rhythms of God, at will she wove her wizard wonder dance, a Dionysian goddess of delight, a Bacchant of creative ecstasy.